It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome to the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis, taking your questions at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Let's take a call from Kyle now in Farmington. And good morning, Kyle. What is your question this morning?
Oh, good morning. Thank you. We have garlic in the garden. It's an awesome plant to do. And so when do you tell us it's ripe? Ready to harvest, just when the tips turn brown, or does the whole, what is it called, the sheave or shave or whatever those leaf things are, when that all goes brown?
Well, they're generally harvested in the fall when the tops begin to yellow and they start to fall over, but before they're completely dry. So you just take them out of the ground with a spade, or just, you know, if you're using a shovel, you have to be careful. And then you'd want to store them for between 7 and 14 days to let them kind of cure, for lack of a better term. And then if you're going to store them, you cut the leaves to 1 or 2 inches above the bulb.
So we should leave them in the ground until fall? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. But when did they plant them? Because I just recently harvested some because, Ton, I've had them in the garden for I don't even know how long. Like, some of them are perennial.
Yeah, and I should say that they will come back, and they'll also come back from seed. And, you know, if you have some bulbs out there, it's not like they aren't edible, and so you can harvest them and just use them. But if you're going to store them and want to maximize their longevity, then you would store them, harvest them in the fall.
Yeah, we planted these in the fall, and then they just, I mean, they're a wonderful, easy plant to do, but so they need to stay until August or September? Is that the...
Yeah, sometime mid-August to mid-September.
The leaf things are dead or appear to be dead?
Well, if they're that dead, you might want to check and make sure there isn't anything wrong.
Okay. All right. And one other one is we got fungus on the zucchini plants. Anything to do with that? What do I need to hit?
When you're saying fungus, are you talking powdery mildew or...
Yeah, that stuff.
Okay. Well, are they being hit by overhead sprinklers?
No.
Okay. So in the future, what I would do is just search online for powdery mildew-resistant zucchini and order those seeds, and that will help. But if you've had problems with them, especially perennial problems, you may want to use something like neem oil to where you're doing a preventative to see if you can nurse those plants along into late summer so you can get a full crop out of the zucchini.
And that's just mix it with water and spray it on them?
Yes, and you do the tops and the undersides of the leaves.
Okay.
So you're triple awesome. Action or neem oil is what I would start with.
What was the first one? The what are neem oil?
Triple action. It's the same thing. It's just the different, it's a brand name.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, Kyle. Thanks for your call this morning. I mean, people don't just leave them in the ground and just let them go for years like I do, Ton, on the garlic.
You know, the garlic...
It's
and the,
true. I mean, it, I
they
just...
will go for years. Leeks will do that also.
So talk a little bit more about storage of the garlic. How do I store these things that I actually harvested this past week?
Well, if they're going to last, what you would want to do is you want the outer portions of the bulb to be a little bit papery and crispy, and so mm-hmm. you would store them for a couple of weeks at room temperature just to where they're not being exposed to hot sun. And then after they kind of develop that papery texture to them, then you can store them at 32 to 40 degrees, and they should last as long as, you know, if they're harvested early, they may not, but if they're harvested in the fall, they'll usually last for months.
So maybe in a paper bag or someplace?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what if they have those little nodules on them that look like you could just replant? Can you replant those?
You sure can.
Okay. But you should take them off of the, or leave them?
Well, you they're edible, but if you take them off, you could go out and just replant them in the garden and let them come up the next spring to form new bulbs for you.
Okay, awesome to know. Let's take a call from Chad in Salt Lake. Good morning, Chad.
Morning.
What is your question this morning?
I have mushrooms growing in the grass close to a tree, and I want to know if there's anything I can do to get rid of them.
Well, you need to make sure that they're not actually growing out of the tree or a tree root, because that would indicate that the tree has an internal rot problem, and those mushrooms coming out are just the reproductive portion of the total organism. And so when you see mushrooms, it's not just like this little cute mushroom with some roots on it. It's a portion of a much bigger organism. But there's no effective fungicide treatments for them. Is the area especially wet or moist?
Not more so than any other, no.
Okay, because the mushrooms or the fungus is decomposing something, whether it's thatch or old dead tree roots or the tree that's alive, that come into play a little bit, and we're hoping that it's not the tree. But as far as just getting rid of the mushrooms, all that you can really do is rake them off and then just throw them away.
That's what I've been doing. I'll keep it up.
Okay.
Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener is new to gardening. Ton, they've planted a vegetable fruit garden this year. They don't have a problem with pests right now, but they're worried that that's going to become an issue. They want to know if you can pre-treat for pests or wait and only treat if they show up. And they also want to know what is a good organic pesticide that would work on most fruits and vegetables.
Well, no, don't just pre-treat, because if there's not a problem, you shouldn't try to solve it, you know. So the other thing is that if you just spray, even if it's organics, you will eventually decimate the beneficial insect population in your yard, and then the bad insects can become worse and much harder to control, because they will oftentimes develop resistance. And so even in organics, you only apply a pesticide if it's kind of your last resort. And so what I would do is subscribe to Utah State University's vegetable and fruit updates, because they will educate you on what to watch for and what's coming up and what's commonly out there. And they will give both organic and non-organic treatments for whatever problems are there. But I think the goal of organics is to not use pesticides or use as few as possible, and even regularly pre-treating with an organic a pesticide goes against the philosophy.
Right. It's one thing I love about gardening is you know exactly what goes onto your plants.
You do. And in this case, I just think that there is no replacement for smart gardening. And one thing that can be done is to subscribe to those fruit and pest updates from Utah State University that are free, and then just go from there. There's several good gardening groups on Facebook. I've mentioned Utah Gardening Experts a couple of times as a place you can ask questions. There's many other places, but I would really more learn to garden. Because if you garden well, you rarely have to apply, especially in your vegetable garden, insecticides.
Okay, one more question before we take a break. This person would like to know what the best lawn fertilizer crabgrass preventer is to use right now. And can they still apply it when it's this warm? They don't have any crabgrass showing up yet. This would be a summer application, and they thank you for your help.
Don't apply a crabgrass preventer if you don't have problems with crabgrass. There's just... you know, you're wasting your money, and I would rather at least see you go over to Wendover and put your $20 in a slot machine.
It's a better gamble.
Yes, and I can't really tell you the ideal fertilizer, because the soil test will reveal that, but about 80% of the time a nitrogen-only fertilizer is fine. And what I would do is use slow release, because it is summer and the lawn grows more slowly. If you can't find slow release, or they're because they're more expensive, if you can't afford it, then you can go with a standard fertilizer, but it just apply it at half rates. So if it says the bag will do 10,000 square feet, assume that it does 20 and just go with half the amount.
All right. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton taking your questions, and we have a bunch of them lined up. People are excited about gardening today. Ton, let's take a call now from John in Sandy. And good morning, John. What is your question?
Yeah, I've got, the last couple of years, my squash plants start off just fine, then they develop little brown spots on the leaves, and then they turn into holes and just leave the veining on the leaves, and pretty soon the plant just dies.
Well, the squash plants, so they're being skeletonized. There's a few things that can do that. Earwigs are probably the most common ones. And do you know if you have a lot of earwigs in your garden area?
Yes, I do.
Okay. The earwigs, they can be beneficial sometimes because they'll feed on aphids and other things, but then they'll also tear up our fruits and vegetables. And so they're a mixed bag of tricks as far as that goes. So one thing that you might do is download Utah State University's fact sheet on earwig control. And if you just Google USU and earwigs, it'll bring up a couple of different sheets, and it'll show you some traps and baits and things that you can use. But there are some sprays out there that are also registered if you have to go to that extent. I reviewed a few of them last week, and the one I found that's commonly available from our farm stores and independent garden centers is one made by High Yield. And I believe it's called Home and Farm. Insecticide is, I believe it's High Yield Home and Farm, and it's a permethrin product that will set those earwigs back, but you don't want to overuse it, because if you use it three or four times, you know, 3 or 4 weeks in a row, you can flare spider mites, and so you want to be a little bit cautious.
Okay. Well, I also had one zucchini plant last year where the leaf started to get the brown spots on it, and then the whole leaf turned very brown and thick. It didn't develop the holes.
That may have been powdery mildew.
Yeah, there was no mildew on it at all. This was in the middle of July.
Unfortunately, it's really hard to diagnose such things without pictures, and especially from last year. And so, basically, what I know is the leaf died. And there's not a lot of common fungal diseases that would do that besides powdery mildew, but there could be other things going on. And so if you see it show up, what I would recommend doing is getting pictures of it emailed up to your extension office.
Okay, I will do that. Because I've never had trouble growing zucchini until last year.
Yeah, and so are you familiar with squash bugs?
Yes.
Okay, because squash bugs will wilt them down, but you usually don't see the leaves go gray.
Right.
So those would be one other thing to watch out for.
Yeah. So I'm very familiar with the squash bugs.
Unfortunately.
Right. Yeah. Now, I did start the zucchinis in containers, and they got rather large before I put them in the garden. They were fine in the containers, and as soon as I put them in the garden, they started to get the spots on them.
Yeah, and there could be a lot of different things. We've seen hail damage this year, the frost or the cold temperatures, wind. It's been a little bit of a tough spring for vegetables.
Has been.
Okay. All right.
Well,
thank
John.
You very much.
Mm-hmm. Good luck to you. Our next listener is wondering what is wrong with their roses. They have roses that have brown on them at bud stage. The blossoms are brown. and they're wondering what that could be. They say this has been happening for the past few years.
Well, this roses are another one that all they've really said is my plant has a headache. Why? Without pictures and further description, it's really hard to say. I just need more information because it could be anything from extreme aphid damage to a virus to a fungal disease. And there's just not enough information there for me to really say, oh, it's this.
Okay. And a fungal disease could carry over year to year, right?
Oh, it definitely would.
Okay.
There's rose stem girdler. There's a lot of different things it could be.
All right. We need more information on that one. Let's take a call from Norma in Orem. Good morning, Norma.
Good morning. This is my question. I have several patches in my backyard, which is mostly green. But there are these patches that are kind of bare in the middle, and then they have a ring kind of brown grass around the edge of that. And I want to know what it is and what I can do about it.
So on the grass, are you seeing any mushrooms in the ring itself or on the edges of it?
Not in these particular patches. I do have mushrooms in other spots in my yard, but not in those.
Okay. And then around the inside of the ring, the grass isn't growing faster than the rest of it at all?
No, they look pretty stable.
Okay. I wanted to eliminate fairy ring, which can do that. Fairy ring decomposes thatch, and then as that thatch decomposes, the grass in the ring dies, but then it kind of recovers, and because it gets a weak shot of nitrogen, it almost looks like a dog spot or something. So I don't think it's that. And so on these rings, just to eliminate a few other things, nothing's been spilled or, you know, like a paint thinner or anything like that, fertilizer.
No, not at all.
Okay. So I'm eliminating possibilities, I'm veering more and more toward necrotic ring spot and summer patch, which can be a little difficult to control. And do they seem to be spreading?
Well, I've noticed a couple of them coming up in my front lawn now, and I have a question about, can a lawnmower spread something like that?
Absolutely. Yep, it can. Uh-huh. I've seen several occasions to where I could follow a lawn company's mowing route because every lawn had summer patch or necrotic ring spot that was most likely spread by the mowers. And so when you have situations like that, the recommendation is to mow those areas last and get the mower onto cement. And then when you're done, wash it so that you can diminish the possibility of spreading it with your mower.
Okay, but what can I do about the spots that are in my lawn?
Well, I hate to have you just run out and buy a fungicide without some pictures. And so, do you have internet access?
I do, but
okay.
I'm pretty internet illiterate.
Okay, and what county are you in?
This is the north side of Orem, so it's Utah.
So Utah County. Okay, what I'll have you do is see if you can get somebody with their phone to email some pictures to gardenhelp, just one word, gardenhelp@usu.edu.
Okay.
And they will, Meredith will get that, and she can probably tell you if it's necrotic ring spot or Ask Al-Qaeda.
All right.
Which is another one. So all it sounds right. Like we're up against a break.
We are. Norma, thanks for your call this morning. Following the news at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about creating recipes from local grown produce, and radishes are in season. We have a special feature for you coming up in just a moment on the KSL Greenhouse Show.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.